So, for this evening's talk, I have a subject, and one of the monks told me that sometimes people don't understand in Buddhism this business of making merit. And I know that because when I was a Buddhist layperson, I didn't understand making merit. That was just too traditional, just not really essential. I just wanted to meditate. I wanted to understand the deeper teachings of emptiness and non-self and the nature of the universe, but making merit, that was just for ordinary, you know, traditional ethnic Buddhists. And so I was too serious to realize just how wonderful and how essential this idea of making merit is. You know, not only to the path towards enlightenment, but just to have a happy, peaceful, healthy life. Because I thought it was like, you know, sort of stupid people's Buddhism. That's basic enough what I thought. And I couldn't understand why all these people were coming to feed the monks when they were already fat anyway. They should learn how to feed themselves. I know that's how you think, you know, as a Westerner. But the first time, actually even earlier than that, when I was training to become a monk, I used to go to temples over in, especially over in London. You know, every time I did something for a monk, I felt very happy. You know, just giving them something. I remember one of them asked me, "Can you please charge the battery in my car?" And I went to charge it. I said, "How much do I owe you?" He said, "Nothing. It's my joy to be able to do something for a monk." But I never really understood it. And little things in my life started to teach me just how wonderful, joyful, how beautiful, free energy it is to make merit. For example, when I first went to the first place I ordained was in Thailand, and actually the only place I ordained, that's where I first became a monk. And I remember we used to go on alms round every morning, taking food from these really dirt-poor villagers and taking rice every day. And they hardly had enough to eat themselves. And what happened was one day we didn't need to go for alms food in the village because we were going to eat in somebody's house. But we'd never told them. And I thought, wow, they'd be so happy today. They didn't need to go and feed these monks. In fact, this monk, somebody was talking about, because there's an election coming up, they had to, get on the electoral register roll, and they had to put down their job. And they said, "What job should I put down? Should I put down monk?" "No, put down bludger." I was only joking. We're not bludgers. We work really hard. But imagine they got that on the what's your profession? But we're not bludgers, but some people think we are, and I thought we were. So I thought that when these villagers realised they didn't need to feed us that day, they'd be so happy. But it was completely opposite. They came that evening, a delegation with the head man of the village and all the senior people in the village, to say, "Did we do anything wrong? You know, why didn't you come today? Is there something we said or something we did you didn't come?" And they were so sincere, I realized they actually missed us. Even though I thought that they'd be so happy they didn't have to give us some extra food, they'd have more for themselves that day. No, they really loved seeing the monks come into the village every morning. They loved having the opportunity to feed us. And that started making me wonder about this giving, this making merit. They love doing that. And for me, it was always about, you know, what I needed. And the second thing which happened, which is an old story, but it's one of my favorites, was when my master, Ajahn Chah, the head teacher, when he came back from his alms round, we never wear shoes on alms round. That was one of our rules. Even here when we go on alms round, you know, we walk barefoot on a Saturday morning. And that all the monks would jump up as soon as my master came close to the hall and washed his feet for him. Now, it wasn't just one monk. There was about 20 monks jumped up to wash this, he was middle-aged monk's feet. And I thought to myself, this is ridiculous. He's old enough now to wash his own feet. Why do other people need to wash his feet for him? And anyway, if they did need to wash his feet, I thought, you have a roster. You today, you the next day, and you the next day. Because 20 feet, how can you wash a foot when you've got 20 people around you? It's absolutely ridiculous. And I said, what are you doing that for? We're making merit. Yeah, you're making merit. What does that mean? You should be meditating instead. But I was really wondering what this merit-making business was. And the only way you can find out is to try it. So that was when I decided that I'm going to try this, to try and wash my master's feet, my teacher's feet, just to see what happens. And you had to be quick. So I was waiting there, and I was just like an Olympic runner waiting for the gun to go. I was waiting there, poised. And when he came around the corner, I saw him. I jumped up. And you had to be fast, because you had to compete with all the other monks. But I was fast, I was young and pretty quick. And you know what happened? I got a toe, all to myself. I got a toe, and I washed his toe, and I washed it, and washed it, and washed it, and washed it. And then I thought, what's going on here? I was so happy. And then I realized what making merit is all about. It's totally irrational, but it's emotional. This beautiful emotional of helping someone, of doing something, even though they don't need it, I'm going to do it for them anyway. Even though they can probably do it better themselves. And now I'm a senior monk, people that do that to me. And it's very, very sometimes irritating having all these people trying to wash your feet. But they get so much fun out of it, okay, you can do it. I just come back from Indonesia, and I was 6 days over there. And Indonesia is the craziest place in the world for taking photos. It beats all these other countries by many, many shots, by many flashes. And what are you taking photographs of me for? You must be crazy. I'm old and fat. I'm not some sort of hot young guy like Justin Bieber or something like that, but they always want to take photos of me. But they get so much fun out of it. And because they get so much fun out of it, instead of getting negative, it's an emotional thing. And because it's an emotional thing rather than a physical thing, that is the secret of this wonderful thing in Buddhism, in life, about not just doing it because it needs to be done, but doing it because you need to do it. And again, the other story which made this so clear, I read this a long time ago, I don't know where I read it from, but it was so old. It was an article written by a journalist who went into Tibet when the Dalai Lama was still in Tibet, before he had to flee. And even then, His Holiness the Dalai Lama would go from village to village, in Tibet, so people could see him, instead of just staying in his palace all the time. And when people would see him, they would line up to make offerings to him. And this journalist was doing a story about this and was getting more and more angry. It's because many, many poor people came up to give things to this monk who had everything. And what really just turned his anger, into just total outrage was when an obviously incredibly poor woman from the village gave the Dalai Lama a woman's skirt. And that was just too much. And he started shouting at the Dalai Lama. "No, you think you're a religious person, a holy person, and you're taking a skirt from a poor woman? She needs it much more than you. You're a man. You don't wear skirts. She does. She needs it. Why do you take it? This is wrong. This is not right. What are you doing this for? This is not religion." And he was so angry. Now, when anyone's angry at you, just be like the Dalai Lama. You sit there and smile. And then eventually people calm down. Then the first thing is you acknowledge what the person said. And this is what His Holiness the Dalai Lama did. He said, yeah, you're quite right. I don't need this skirt. Yeah. But, said the Dalai Lama, and this was the punch. He said, but the girl needed to give it to me. And at that, this journalist at last realized the joy of merit-making. It's true, a man doesn't need a skirt. But that girl needed to give him something. And that's all she had. And of course, the Dalai Lama wouldn't wear the skirt. He would take it to the next village and give it to someone else. And that's when I learned that. That's what I do these days. You know, that when people give me stuff, I accept it. And then when you're not looking, I give it away. I don't need it, but you need to give it to me. And there's all these wonderful little stories. Which had the Sri Lankan High Commissioner came sort of yesterday to visit me at the monastery, and he was saying that, you know, he's a related, or he went to school with Ashton Agar's grandfather or something. He's a cricketer, and I know his grandma too, because she was a woman. I went to visit her in Melbourne in one of the hospitals there. She had a cancer, this poor lady, and while she was having cancer, she managed to knit me a pair of socks. And, you know, I don't wear socks. But, of course, she spent all that time knitting me a pair of socks. And what do? Do you say, nah, I don't wear socks? That's gross. That's really horrible. You know, people went to such a long, a great deal of trouble knitting you a pair of socks. So you accept it. And I wore it. I put them on straight away. I always remember this because I had a pretty good memory. I was very mindful of the journey into the hospital, and I knew where her room was. And I knew that as I walked out of the hospital back to the car park, her room overlooked the car park. And I knew what she'd be doing. She'd be watching through the window as I left. And without even looking, I started kicking up my feet so she could see my socks. And after kicking up my feet, then I looked and she was at the window laughing her head off. And that was Ashton Agar's grandma. And I always remember that, because now that is what merit making is all about. I don't need socks, but I wear them. I'm not just going to wear them. I'm going to kick them up so she's seeing I'm wearing her socks to make her really happy. And just, what a wonderful gift that is when you've got cancer. It's really, really terrible about the chemotherapy and everything else. That reminds me of a story I read on my first part of my trip. You know, there was a Buddhist monk, supposed to be a true story. You know, so the person told me in the email, and he had cancer, and the doctor offered him chemotherapy. He refused. He said, but chemotherapy would be the good treatment for you. He said, no, I do not want chemotherapy. And he asked the Buddhist monk, why not? What have you got against chemotherapy? And the Buddhist monk replied, because I'm afraid of losing my hair. That is really a stupid joke. But it's my standard. Anyway, but no, this doing something kind and good is a wonderful thing to do. And of course, that's what I try to do. Yeah, you come to the monastery and you bring food to the monk and you serve the monks, but every now and again I have the opportunity to get my own back and serve you. Because now I travel so much now. I've just been to Indonesia and Penang and Melbourne and all over the place, many cities in Indonesia. So I travel a lot. And because I travel a long time ago, I said, well, you travel a lot, why don't you get on these frequent flyer programs? And I've got so many frequent flyer points now, a few more and I'll be able to afford my own aircraft. Well, not quite, but I got these cards and you can go into the lounges. And I usually look for people, that I can invite in. Because it's really wonderful. I was in Denpasar in Bali and there was somebody there I recognized, come into the lounge with me. It's a great treat for them. And I can actually get something. Here, you have something. I can serve you for a change. I get so much happiness out of that. When you can look after somebody else. And I remember this one lady I knew that I saw at Perth Airport. She was having a cup of coffee, I think in the Dome Cafe, and said, "Hey, you going where I'm going?" I said, "Yeah, come in the lounge with me." And that means I can do some service as well. Sometimes, you know, you've seen me do this in many places. You know, you're walking and I run to the door and open the door for you. You know, that's really a no-no. I'm supposed to be a senior monk. I'm not supposed to do that. But it's my way of making merit. And it makes life fun. It makes life enjoyable. If I do offer you any food, you know, some of the leftovers, I also say, you know, well, not leftovers, you've got so much food, and just, you know, I haven't chewed it or anything, you know, it's just been out there. And I say, look, this is food being offered to monk. Now, you know, you give it to me first of all, now I give it to you. It's my offering, it's my merit making. But I make it even more powerful for you. Because of the spiritual power of a monk, I say, all the cholesterol has been removed. All of the diabetic-inducing sugars have been gone. This is now holy food. It's been holified. So you can take as much as you like. Don't worry about your diet because it's now been sanctified. So you eat whatever you like. And if it does kill you, because it's come from a monk, you go to heaven. So what the worry? Now, when you start messing around like that and having fun, that's what merit-making is all about. Just like when I just, you know, washed my teacher's foot. It was so much joy, giving, sharing, doing things for each other. And this is one of the reasons why we're not so happy in our modern world. You know, the me society, what I want, what I need, rather than sharing with one another. And it's not just sharing food, sharing money, it's just sharing time. Just open the door for each other. Just sharing our time together. And it does make merit, but who's the merit for? You know, sometimes in some traditions we say, well, it's merit for me. I give food to a monk, therefore I'm making merit. No. It's always merit for us. It's merit for the world. It makes the world a happier, more beautiful, more jolly place to live in. Because when somebody makes merit, they do something good. Everyone else is supposed to be rejoicing in the merit somebody makes. So when we rejoice in it, you know, we're actually allowing the good karma, the good action, the kindness which somebody does to spread. And we all gain from it. There's so much nasty stuff which goes on in the world, so much criticism, fault-finding. It's never perfect. But this is one of the problems, because we're always fault-finding, we don't allow the rejoicing in the goodness in the world. And there's so much goodness out there. So when you learn how to value merit, goodness, you know, helping one another, caring for another, that's all what we call merit. And it makes this world a happier, more joyful, more wonderful place. So my merit making is just, you know, telling you stories, telling you jokes, making you laugh, giving you some between the jokes. I tell actually some Buddhism as well. You know, just, you know, a little bit between the two, the jokes. You know, teaching you just how to live a life. And it actually works. For example, you know, the people with depression or people who are sick with cancers, people who are dying. Sometimes you can be so self-centered when you're dying. Kindly think of other people as well. One of my favorite people in history, this San Lorenzo, St. Lawrence he's called. And this guy, you know, this one of the reasons I respect him, because he was a heretic. And I always tend to like heretics, associate with them. It was actually one of my goals in life to be a heretic. And when I was kicked out of Wat Bapong for ordaining bhikkhunis, that was one of my bucket list I could tick. There's always something about heretics. Always ask deeper questions. Yeah, of course you have to upset people sometimes, but it's for a good cause. You know, opening the door for women in Buddhism. So, in the Buddhist Sangha. So this guy was a heretic, but in those days, you know, there's a bit of more consequences if you upset people. He was actually roasted alive. And the thing I respect about him, just before he passed away, he told a joke. his last words. And now that was amazing. It's okay to bear, you know, your death, and very painful just with stoicism. But he did much better than having a stiff upper lip or gritting his teeth. You know, he was actually concerned about all the people watching him, because it's not a nice thing to watch somebody be burnt to death. He was thinking of others, so he decided to cheer them up. And his last words were, you know, just like I was a piece of toast, turn me over, this side's done. And that was his last words. Imagine that. I mean, that's, you know, being barbecued alive and turn me over, this side's done. That was brilliant. I really respect a person who could do that. Now, okay, you're not getting that far. But, you know, if you are sick, in trouble, can't you go and do some merit? Go and clean the toilets? Or just go and just see if there's something, somebody can help, or somewhere you can help in, say, an old people's home, an orphanage, a place where the people are having a bit of difficulty. Go and find a homeless person somewhere in Perth and give them something to eat. Do something beautiful in this world. Do something nice. Because you find if you do things like that, you make some merit, you get a huge boost of energy. You feel good about yourself. Merit is instantaneous, and it's also enormous fun to do in the moment. And when you have that beautiful positive attitude, fun, helping other people, sometimes you're not thinking about your own pain, you're not thinking about your own condition, you're thinking of something much bigger, much more beautiful, and your pain, your condition, your sickness tends to get less. So a lot of times we encourage people who have, say, depression, stress. You know, there's another way of dealing with it. Somebody showed me a video, a very powerful video. They did some research, and this is science, I love science when it meets with Buddhism, about people with stressful jobs. And they found out that just having a stressful job is not the cause of cardiac ill health. They said the cause of cardiac ill health is not the stress of your job or your sickness or your life. It's how you deal with it, your attitude towards it. If you get negative to what you have to do in life, then that is the stress which causes cardiac disease. They could measure it. You know, watch the build-up of cholesterol in your arteries and incidence of heart attacks. But they said if you have a positive attitude to all the hard work you have to do, you know, this lady called it, you know, looking at it as a challenge, something you're going to live up to, something you're going to actually do and meet. Yeah, give me more challenges. Then that type of attitude meant you know, your arteries and veins were perfect. And it was always a negativity which we add to what we're doing. And that's why, you know, the hard work which I do, and I do really work hard, you know, I'm just traveling around the world is not easy, and wherever you go, you know, as soon as you land, you start talking to people. That's the trouble, that too many people know me, and they're always asking questions. And you know, I even say this happens again and again and again. You know, you go into the toilet and someone recognizes you. Yeah. And because they got you on their own, they say, oh, you're Ajahn Brahm. Yeah, I really need to ask you a question about my meditation. But I want to go to the toilet. You know, that happened. The worst case, when I was in Hong Kong. Absolutely true. You know, that you give a talk, and just like here afterwards, you know, that people come along and ask, you know, what happens? At the end of the talk, you ask any questions. Everyone is silent. It's okay, now we're finished, and then everyone lines up to ask their questions. It's human nature, it happens, doesn't matter, I don't mind that, because it's my opportunity to make merit. So they came and came and came and came, and so it's time to go. So I started walking out, and they stopped me as I was walking out to get questions. They saw me by myself, so they came straight away. And then I finally made it into the toilet. Finally. And as soon as I got in, I thought, okay, now I can really sort of, you know, let go. I really needed to let go. And that was when this guy, he had just finished washing his hands and turned to me. He said, oh, Ajahn Brahm, I really need to ask you these questions on meditation. You can't escape. So, I know, I do really work hard wherever I go. And do I get stressed out? Because I look, this is my way of making merit. Doing good things, helping, whatever I can do to try and make the world a better place. And because of that attitude, it's merit-making, it's not work. It means that, you know, you don't get so tired. Certainly, you take away the negativity of what you have to do. So if you're a boss in a company which got a few Buddhists in there, say, look, there's an extra bit of work we have to do this weekend. I know it's Easter and you're supposed to be with your family, but this is making merit. Come on, make merit this weekend for the company. And if it did that and you believed it, just it would take away the whole difficulty of just what you're doing and make it fun. This beautiful joy, doing something good. I need to not think of myself but think of others. And if you do that, that's called making merit. Taking away the me and looking at us, a beautiful thing to do in our world. And if you just start with that sort of attitude, that, you know, your sicknesses tend to disappear. You know, I'm an incredibly healthy monk. You know, we had some of our monks, you know, this monk, he went over to India for a few days on pilgrimage, they all got sick. And I worked twice as hard. And just, when was the last time I got sick? Can't remember. So maybe I got the sickness of Alzheimer's disease, but it's been a long time since I've been sick. I don't remember. And I should get sick. If anyone should get sick and I'm monitoring, I should, because I work too hard. But you work, not, it's not really work, it's making merit, doing good stuff, helping people, looking after others. And you find that that is a beautiful thing in, you know, taught by the Buddha. Just don't just think of yourself. Go out there and don't just think compassion. Actually do compassion. Don't think, all beings, may they all be happy and well. Yeah, for sure, go and do something. And if everyone thinks, may all beings be happy and well, no one does anything, they're just thinking, may all beings be happy and well. So to be kind to someone, look, somebody wants a lift over to Scarborough. If you understood this talk, there'd be a whole line of people and saying, no, I want to take them to Scarborough. No, me. No, it's my turn. No, I want to take them to Scarborough. No, please, me. And the person who takes them to Scarborough, you know, lives in Midland, which is in the opposite direction. But they say, no, I just like doing this. Now that is someone who understands merit-making. It's not as convenient for them, they're going that way. Now I'm going the opposite way, but I just love doing this sort of stuff. It's totally stupid, ridiculous, illogical, but it's great fun to do such stupid, ridiculous things. I was just thinking of this one lady, that she was her friend, called me. It was on like a Friday, that's right, Friday afternoon. Her husband died. And the funeral was going to be, I got the message on a Friday afternoon, or Friday morning. It was Friday morning. The funeral was going to be on Saturday in Singapore. Can I come? I go giving a talk on a Friday night. And there's some people waiting for me on Saturday. You know, just all the people who come and the meditation and all that other stuff. And, you know, just come at a moment's notice. That's ridiculous. And when I realized it was ridiculous, I decided, yes, I'm going to go. So I called up the travel agent, any seats? Yeah, we've got a seat for you. So I used my frequent flyer points or something, and I went over there, just finished the talk here, straight to the airport, overnight flight, you know, no sleep, and then just go and do the funeral for them and come back the next day. Absolutely ridiculous thing to do. But I did that because it was merit, a beautiful thing to do. And she gave these huge donations to Jhana Grove, Dhammasara Monastery, and now my latest project, the Buddhist Society of Victoria. You know, that's in. I'm also the spiritual advisor over there as well, main teacher over there. I've got so many franchises throughout the world. But I enjoy myself doing all this sort of stuff. And when you enjoy yourself, whatever you do, no matter how much hard work it is, it's like fun and joy. So it's the attitude you have, and somehow or other, you know, people like the Buddha realize it's just not what you do but how you do it. And if you give it this beautiful spin of it's merit making, it's not merit for me, it's merit for the whole world. It's a beautiful, joyful thing to do. It's not needed to be done, but I'm going to do it anyway. Other people can look after themselves. And once you understand that, you also have to be what the Buddha called a field of merit for others. And a field of merit for others, you know, like I'm a very competent monk. I can wash my own feet. I can wash my own robes. I can do everything for myself, thank you, but I don't do that on purpose. let other people do it, even though they do it much worse than I could do it. And sometimes they wash my robe and I have to wash it again afterwards because they don't know how to do it properly. But that's not the point. The point is that I have to let other people sort of help me to make merit, as you have to let other people make merit with you. So every time you are sick in your home, never say, I can look after myself, I don't want to be a burden on anybody. Oh, come on, you don't understand basic ideas of life. You are not a burden on a person or on anyone when you're sick. You're a field of merit when you're sick. Other people can look after you. They can care for you. They can come and visit you. They can bring you flowers, special food, whatever it is. You can become a field of merit for others. So every time you're sick, wonderful. Tell your husband, you know, I am now sick. I'm a field of merit for you. Pamper me. And it gets so much more fun that way. You don't have this negative thing, oh, no, why do you have to look after me? I can do it myself, darling. No, that's not the point. One of the stories, this monk I knew, he was from Chicago, and he went to visit his family, and it's a very cold city, Chicago. You know, then Ajahn Chakro, you know, the ex-Ajahn Chakro used to live here. I went to see him in Chicago. It's the coldest place I've ever been in the world. And, you know, because it's the wind comes across and it just, everything freezes. And, you know, it was a snowy day. This poor guy slipped, the monk slipped and broke his leg. And so they took him to hospital. They called his mother. And as soon, he told me this personally. And then I burst out laughing because I could understand what was going on. He said, as soon as my mother came into the hospital room to see me with my leg in plaster, I expected some sympathy from my own mother. But she never showed any sympathy. She just smiled from ear to ear. I've never seen her so happy. And then I realized why she was so happy when she spoke. Great, son, now I've got you exactly where I want you. So I can mother you for the next few days or few weeks. Because if you're a mother, you know, as long as your son is not really hurting, but he's in a hospital bed, he can't run away, he's got a broken leg, now you can come and cook for him and care for him and look after him. Do mothers love doing that? Of course they do. I love doing that as well. Guys like doing that as well. The idea to sort of mother someone, to care for them, look after them, you know, just make an extra effort just to make sure they're okay. But if you're sick, please, there are certain sicknesses, never invite me to come to your hospital bed. Because I always remember this one girl, you know, she used to be our secretary, I think, here years ago. She had hysterectomy. You already remember this. She had a hysterectomy, and if you have a hysterectomy, it's this really nasty sort of wound you have in your sort of abdomen. And as soon as she came in and said, Ajahn Brahm, please, 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 don't tell any jokes, because when I laugh, it hurts terribly. That's like telling a dog not to bark. Of course I had to tell jokes, that's who I am. So this poor lady, she was crying with tears and with pain at the same time. So if you have a hysterectomy and a bad wound, please do not invite me to come to your bedside. It will hurt even more. Well, the other time I was telling a few people, because this was in the front of my mind, there was the poor Malaysian family, their father was very sick in hospital. And he was dying, so they invited me to do some Buddhist chanting for them. I'm very happy to do that, because it's my chance to do something good, to make merit. But then, you know, the chanting was so good, he started to get better. And they rang me up and complained. And they said, look, Ajahn Brahm, we wanted you to chant not to make him recover, but to have a peaceful death. We had everything arranged. Now, we got to know used to the fact he was going to die. You know, we wanted to let him go, and now you bring him back again. Your chanting was too powerful. So I get into trouble sometimes. So if you want me to do any chanting, please ask me what you want, okay? So you don't get the wrong thing. So, but that's my job. And you see, you know, when you do the chanting, you make it fun. It's a service, and it's something you can do to make people happy, to give them some confidence, give them some energy, to give them some happiness. And don't ever think it's too much of a bother for me, because it's my chance to do some merit for you, to give, to serve. Because that degree of service, that gives you this beautiful, what we call in Buddhism, it's called in English, a pure heart. All the people you know who have got a pure heart. What type of person has a pure heart? A person is always going to be ready to look after you, care for you, serve you. You give them a call and they're never too busy to sort of answer the phone. And they can always spend, even though they are busy, you know, they can always actually spend some time and care and look after you. Those people who call have a pure heart. Those are people who know the secret of making merit. And such people, you find, are healthy and they're happy. Because, you know, the Buddha said the mind is a forerunner of all things. If you have a pure heart, you can have a pure body. And it's that pure body is a very healthy, happy, strong body. So that's why we know the secret of making merit. To serve, look after, care for people. It's a wonderful thing we do. We get such a pure heart, our body gets very strong. We never get the negativity, depressions of anxiety and even grief. Our body and mind are so resilient to whatever happens. But then also, this is a thing I never understood except by practice, because I really got into this merit making when I was a young monk. So much so that somebody, you know, they said, oh, we need someone to do the extra cleaning today. I'll put my hand up straight away. Me, I want to do it. And I've tried to get that message across in our monastery now. So we need an extra driver. You know, who can do the second driving? Shane puts his hand up. Me, I want to do it. And then I know they've understood what merit making is. It's not, no, I did it last time. Somebody else's turn. Then you haven't understood what merit making is. The merit making is me, because you understand how wonderful it is to do an extra bit of service. And I really got into that as a young monk. Sometimes I do all the chores for the whole monastery myself. I get up early and do it so no one else needed to do it. And they thought I was crazy. You know, doing other people's work for them. You know, I don't know what happens in your house, but it's your turn to take out the rubbish today. No, me, I'll take it out. And you fight over who takes out the garbage. That changes the whole attitude of the house, the whole attitude of the monastery. And it becomes so much fun and joy. We're serving. And because, you know, I was had that attitude for so many years, when I didn't have as much time as my friends to meditate, because I was, you know, just doing merit all the time. But when I did meditate, wow, your mind got so still and so peaceful and so happy, so beautiful, so quickly. I thought I was just maybe blessed. I was, you know, had, you know, really good karma from good meditation karma from the past. I was so skilled at meditating. But no, I realized what was going on. That service, that basis of good karma, that merit was so powerful and strong. That just shot your mind into deep meditation so quickly. And from this day on, when people, they start meditating, they come on some of my meditation retreats. You know, because some of these people I've known for a long time, they're such pure-hearted people. You know, they never complain. They're the ones who, you know, clean up after everyone else is gone. Even though they've been working all day, maybe have to work tomorrow, they still do all that work. They never ask for anything. They just love doing it. And those are people who have incredibly powerful meditations. They've got pure hearts. And of course, there is a big payment, repayment. They get to heaven in this life. Forget about next lives. They have such a happy life, such a beautiful people to be around. And they get incredibly peaceful, deep meditation. Because a lot of time it's the negativity which we have. Why me? It's unfair. Why do I have to have cancer? Why do I have to lose my job? Why do I have to get divorced? Why can't I find a partner? Why do I have to give the talk on a Friday night? Why do I have to answer all these questions? Why do I have to have my photograph taken? That mind, you can see how negative it is. Which means when you're meditating and someone's phone goes off, I'm going to find out who was that whose phone. It's over there somewhere. I'm going to find out. I'm going to nickel out to come here. Come round the back afterwards. Now that type of mind is so nasty. And of course, it's so negative, you can't have any peace at all. But you know, when I was listening to that phone, it was just so beautiful, the sound of a phone. Wonderful. And that means my meditation wasn't disturbed at all. It was so happy, so peaceful. That is what happens when you learn how to make merit. All that fault-finding, negativity, which gives you anger, grief, being fed out with a terrible world it is, you know, there's wars here and wars there, and there's all this stuff going on in the world, it's really bad and stuff. You know, you just get so depressed you can't do anything. When you learn how to make merit, there's always stuff you can do. You can always make a lot of happiness. And with that happiness, with that giving, with that serving, it's amazing what we can do in this world. When we work together without negativity, without arguing. You know, there's just a few days, no, you know, it was yesterday, sorry. You know, every year we have an amazing event. I always like to advertise this because it gives people this inspiration in the world. There's only two monasteries in Perth. You know, our monastery down at Serpentine and the Benedictine monastery up in Eunorsia. You know, we've been sort of hanging out with each other for the last 20 years. So yesterday was their turn to come and visit Bodhinyana Monastery down in Serpentine. If any of you had gone down there yesterday afternoon, you'd see half of the monks in brown, half the monks in white. Those were the Benedictine monks. And it's always amazing, it's incredible just how good friends we are. You know, just seeing how we all are. There's one of those monks, Michael, he's got cancer. He said, oh, thank you for chanting for me, I feel much better. So the Buddhists are chanting for the Catholics. Catholics do the masses for the Buddhists. Isn't that nice? Isn't that what should be happening in this world? Isn't that should be sort of on the 7 o'clock news, whatever time the news is, rather than the sectarian wars in Iraq between Shiites and Sunnis and all this other stupid stuff which goes on in the world? Isn't that wonderful that people may have different religions, different views, different politics, can actually work together and value what we share in common? That is inspiring. That's making merit. And we all enjoy sort of what happens because it gives us a different attitude towards life. Instead of worrying about the negative, what I keep on saying, instead of watering the weeds of life, you know what the weeds are, you know, that's what happens in the office, or I see in the newspapers. That's why the first thing I always read, and this is absolutely true, now, the monks will tell you it's true. The first thing I look at when I see a newspaper is the comics. Sometimes I don't even go further than the comics. Give some happiness in your life, some joy. And they say, well, what's that going to do about the problems in the world? Enormous amount against the problems in the world. All the problems in the world come from people being far too negative and selfish. About, you know, my religion, my politics, my country, my economy, not worrying about other people. Do you see what merit is? It's serving one another. And in that serving one another, looking after one another, caring for one another, we have a lot of happiness. There's one thing I've noticed, that when you tell a joke, it doesn't matter whether you're a Christian, whether you're a Muslim. And when I was in Indonesia, you had all these... Indonesia's, I must say, it's a brilliant place because there the Muslims and the Catholics and the Christians, they all come to my talks. There's actually, I should get this picture for you. There was a Muslim cleric there and, you know, he was sitting in the front just before my talk. We're talking to one another. And they wanted a photograph of both of us. So I leaned over and hugged him and he leaned over and hugged me. It's a beautiful photo, you know, of quite a strict Muslim. You know, and I'm sort of a strict Buddhist. Sort of. Hugging one another. And I saw the picture after, that's a beautiful photo, that's how life should be. So over there, you know, the Catholic nuns were over there and they come to all my talks. You know, they're almost like they're disciples of Ajahn Brahm, even though they're Catholic nuns. Who cares, you know, what you are. And You see, that is a beautiful part of life where we share. And when we laugh, you get this Islamic cleric, you know, just bursting out and almost losing his turban, you know, laughing so much. Now that is when you have this happiness, which is, you know, part of love, caring for one another, laughing together. And have you ever noticed, actually, this was in one of the talks, or one of the extracts they have, you know, about the connection between laughing, loving, and living. Now those three words are so close together. Okay, etymologically, any English student who knows where those words come from, you probably sort of argue with me, but that's not the point. The three words, they sound so similar. Live, love, and laugh. And it's really true. Because have you ever seen a dead person laughing? They can't, they're dead. Only live people can laugh. And you have to respect one another to laugh together. In fact, you know, you all know that the kids tell me this. They're going out with each other. They want to go out with someone and have a relationship with someone who is fun, who can laugh a lot and cause them to laugh. Have you ever seen the connection between laughing and loving? If you love someone, you can laugh together so easily. If you laugh together, you're creating love with one another. And then you're alive. Is there life without love? What type of life is it anyway? When you're angry, when you hate, when you feel so terrible about what happened to you. It's not really life at all, is it? When you have life, love yourself, love other people, and laugh a lot, then you understand what life is. So this is part of the beautiful service of making merit. You learn how to love others by just, I don't care if you need it or not, I'm going to help you. You go to somebody's house and you only visit, and you see the dishes needed cleaning, you just go running up there and you wash it before they could stop you. And that's making merit. That's laughing and loving, caring, doing things which you don't need to do, but you're going to do it anyway. Caring for somebody, they may not even just, you know, be someone you know, but you care for them anyway. Now that is what making merit is. Creates a beautiful, pure mind. Overcomes heaps of sicknesses. Gets rid of depressions, anxieties, trouble because you just split up from the love of your life. Oh, you can still have a beautiful mind by learning the skill of merit making. Thank you. Okay, try again. I know I haven't been here for 3 or 4 weeks. Here we go again. Proper sadhus. Sadhu. 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 Now that's making merit. You don't need to do that, but do it anyway. Okay, let's get some questions from anyone about the joy of merit making. Good karma. Happiness now, happiness always. Yeah, from over here.
Merit making, you could entertain a young boy's dream to show you something.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah. Do you want to stand up?
You got something to show me?
Go on. Yeah. It's his favourite possession and he's been asking to show it to you for a while now.
Very good.
So I brought him along. So do you want to go up?
Hi. What have you got? Wow. That is a Buddha. It's one of the fat Buddhas, just like me. Very good. Want a high five? Very good. Excellent.
Thank you, Ajahn Brahm.
Excellent. Because sometimes people ask me why I'm fat, and you've seen the fat Buddha. That's my image I'm trying to live up to. You know, some people try and look like Angelina Jolie. Some people try and look like Brad Pitt. A lot of guys these days, you know, they try and look like Bruce Willis. They shave their hair. But me, the fat Buddha. It's actually true. You know what? Just over there. A few monks saw this some once. They're just over there, just by the reception area. I was standing there, and this Chinese girl came by. She rubbed my tummy. For good luck. Did I take offence? course not. I laugh my head off and I tell everyone about it. Did she get good luck? I don't know. Who cares? Now you understand what merit making is, I hope. Is there any questions on the internet or did it never work today?
No.
Oh, what a shame. I didn't have the opportunity to make merit overseas. Any other questions from here about... So when you go home... Oh, yeah, from Prem, yeah.
Could you please give an explanation of the mechanism of passing good merit you make to others you love?
Passing to others. Well, sometimes say, how can you pass merits to others, good karma to others? You know, I've been doing that all my life. Not by any chance, but everything which I learn, everything which I developed, any sort of wisdom, kindness, which, you know, I have built up in my life, I share with everyone on a Friday evening. This is how I share my merits with you. Every meditation which has been peaceful, every insight which I've got, every kindness which I've developed, you know, just that's how you share it with your life. So you too, whatever you learn from here on a Friday night, you're going to take that back. You're going to be an easier, happier person to live with and work with when you go home or you go to work. You're going to be a healthier person. You're going to maybe go out there and just, you know, serve, and just somebody just you know, needs a cup of tea. You just, they're looking there, you just go and get one for them. And you don't even know them. Now here, have a cup of tea, have a cup of coffee, whatever you want. There may be one cake left in the, and you just, you know, looking at it and you see someone else really wants it. Here, it's yours. I love doing stuff like that. You know, I see somebody wanting an ice cream and I just take it for myself and look at them. Here, it's yours. That sort of stuff is really good fun. So this, because I do this, you do this, this is how the merits get shared. Not by what you chant, but who you are, because you will affect so many people in the next week. And if you've really understood this talk, then they're going to benefit from it enormously.
Ajahn Brahm?
Yeah.
What do you do if, like, so this week wanted to do something very generous, and I wanted my husband to share that with me and help me to pay for something. And he got really angry, not only that, you know, he didn't want to do it. I said, that's fine. But he got angry with me.
Yeah.
And tells me I'm stupid for doing that and what, you know. And it's really, it's a downer, you know, when somebody does that.
Yeah, they give you negativity. But see if your kindness can be even stronger than that. And they call you stupid. Say, yeah. Is that your husband?
Yeah.
Yeah. Said. Well, you could just tell him, well, look, if I wasn't stupid, I wouldn't have married you.
I'll tell him to listen to this talk.
I better be careful there.
But if you can crack a joke like that, they can't get angry. And if you have that skill, you know, someone tries to get angry at you, but you say something that's totally ridiculous. You know, they can't, you know, they have a contest in their head between continue being angry and just laughing. And in the end, they just, laughter always wins. It's a great way of overcoming anger. If you have the skill to be able to do that, to crack a joke when other people are really getting upset. But if he does, I just give him the benefit of the doubt. You know, he may have had a really hard day at work and it just many problems he has and he's really difficult, the poor thing. So, you know, you have compassion to him. Just, he's trying his very best. He's not a bad... And there's no such things as bad guys or bad girls. They just sometimes have bad days, that's all. But they're not bad people. They say bad things, but that's not the real them. So you just say, oh, he needed to say that. So just like the Dalai Lama, say, oh, yeah, you're right. I'm a bit stupid, yeah. But, you know, I'm a woman. I can... And that will make him laugh. Okay, so it's not a downer anymore. And please get a recording of this talk and give it to him and let him listen to it. Okay, any other question before we finish off?
Sorry, I just wanted to ask you,
Yeah.
When you're talking about merit making, I know I've attempted it in the past and I find myself burning out. And I know my mum as well has always turned around and said, I've got to start saying no to people, you know, because she feels like she's giving and giving and she's wearing herself down. Is there a balance that needs to be struck, or do you find that when you give and give, you get so much in return that you kind of don't burn out, or do you know when enough's enough? Or
well, I think a lot of times the burnout is the negativity, you know, because you know you have expectations of being thanked, of wanting things. But merit making is not for expectations. Mm. I didn't expect to get anything out of, you know, washing a toe of a grown up man. But you know, I never expected it, but I got so much back immediately.
As soon as you said that, I realized, because I think I did expect something from it. Maybe in that week I expected to get some praise, or maybe I expected something in return.
That's where most of the burnout comes. Okay. When expectations, a lack of fun, lack of joy. You know, you're giving, and I've got to give. How long do I have to do this for? Why me? That is what gives you burnout more than anything else.
So just go with an open heart, not expect anything.
An open heart and a beautiful, bubbly heart. And just, I'll do it. But, you know, okay, well, you know, I can't really do it because there's other people I've got to do, but I'm going to try my best. And if I can't do it, you know, see if I can do whatever I can.
Beautiful. Thank you.
Yeah. So I think that's one of the main reasons for burnout, so is actually not doing it with fun. Because otherwise I should have been burnt out years ago. And, you know, just you just have too much fun. Okay, thank you so much. So hopefully you can enjoy this evening and also take something back to help other people. So let's now pay respects to the Buddha Dhamma Sangha, and then we can go and do whatever we need to do.
Arahang Sammasambuddho Bhagava Buddhang Bhagavantang Abhivademi Suvakkato Bhagavata Dhammo Dhammang Namassami Supatipanno Bhagavato Savakasangho Sangang Namami.